Angel, give it to me.
Lo que vamos a hacer es que ahora estás grabando. Okay, el tiempo, ajá, al inicio te dice el tiempo, no dice el tiempo cuando anda, porque ahora está recording. Okay, no, no sabemos en qué carpeta está. Okay.
Well, Mr. Azio, Mr. Henry, thank you again for participating in our project. As you know, or you have read, we are collecting many narrative stories of individuals in the West Indian community, here in Almirante and elsewhere, and we hope to use it to help educate the rest of the public about our history as it is told by the real individuals who live that history. So we're going to start with the first question. Tell me about your place of birth and what was going on there as a child. What do you remember from that place?
Well, my place of birth is right here in Almirante. But I will not live, my parents were not living here. They were living in Sibubi.
Where is that?
That's just Panama. It's belonging to Panama, but that's more in the bush outside. That's where we're living there. But I was born here in the year of the 8th of November 1928. My parents were living there in Cebu. So well, we grew up there, and when I was a boy, the age of around, and my father died when I was around between five to six years. My mother had to work very hard, and she used to pick cocoa for the company. She used to get 36 cents for a box of cocoa, and we had to work. When I was around 7 years, I had good body. We had to work for more in the childhood days. We had to work. We go to the farm with people to pick cocoa. Sometimes we go to the farm where they had to get food stuff and so forth and do a lot of things. And as children, I grew up working very hard and had my mother. I had very little schooling, but anyhow, the little schooling that I have, thank God I still have it with now. I've been to a teacher, she was an Adventist woman. Her name was Mrs. Burke. What I learned from her right up to fourth grade, I was able to take that. And when I came, when we left, she had left, my parents left Sibubi to live in Atlanta. I think it was about in 1938, somewhere around there. And in 1940, I had a stepfather, and he went to Panama. At that time, they had work open in the canal. And he went there, but he didn't come back. My parents were living in Atlanta, and then in 1940, we came to live in Almirante. That's where in Almirante I was able to go to Spanish school. I was, at 11 years. Been to first grade, but I've been well because I was a child, I'm very obedient. They sent me anywhere and I make an error, and I was not a person that had ever been covered. Night or day, I'd ever been covered of anything. So the teacher tried to help me for about, I think before the year closed, but around about 6 months or 7 months I've been to Spanish, but I was too old to be in first grade. So I've never been back to Spanish school. But what I learned by working around with Spanish, and well, thank the good Lord, he gave me a prince, a captain, whatever. They laugh at me sometimes when I speak the word not properly, you know, they make jokes. So I didn't get vexed. I said, okay, you are having fun. Tell me what I must say. And I have it here. So I had to work. I began working with the China people there. Got $150 a week. Could imagine a little of nothing, but Yes, ma'am. And then I used to like to go out fishing, and also when we used to catch fish, he said that at those times the fish was 10 cents a pound. And then after I got to work with the United Fruit Company in the construction, that was in 1940, 5 cents an hour, 40 cents a day. After I left there, I went to work at the M&S and I got 10 cents an hour. That was way down in 1940, between 41, 42, 43. That was the 43. Then from there I left and I went to work at the railroad. Worked on the railroad for about a year. The same company, just leave and work. And then from the railroad I went to work at the M&S again. And I left the M&S and went to work at the WAF. Now we get a little more money, the years passed by, and I began to get 22 cents an hour. And I leave the WAF, and then they forget what year, around 40, in 40 something, around there, around 46, 47, to work at as a janitor in the commissary, the United Food Company commissary. I was a janitor. But you know, of course, not. I'm very industrious because I had that from my youth in my home. Very much industrious, and when I'm going to work, I work. It's one of the things I work. I could buy and work. So I work up, and afterward I got to be a clerk. And afterward I was in charge of a part of the commissary. Right at this spot right now where we are interviewing here, the company had a commissary, a small commissary, with a big commissary outside there with a, right now the pay light and the cable, the pay is there. That was the company commissary, was right at this spot with a small commissary here, and I worked around here for 1 year. I spent around here in the year of 1952. And from here, afterward, I went back out. They changed me from here to work over in the commissary the year before because they had a lot of white folks. And, you know, when you get along with those people, my mother told me in my days, she says, you don't have a big education, you're not able to have a big education, but manners and respect, you go through this world. And thanks to her, she's dead and gone, but I go through many good jobs but never have this salary. So after I've been working, I leave the commissary, I went and had my own business. Well, I was progressing, but well, I won't tell you what took place there with people because people are not nice. They don't like to see your progress. They get at you to keep you down. So I had to go to work with went back to the United Food Company and work in the hospital. In the hospital. I went with the doctor, and then from there they sent me to the hospital. And I worked in the hospital for 10 years, probably 11 years. And then the Social Security took over the hospital in the year of 1971, the 1st of September. And I was transferred to them and worked with them, and that's what I was saying. So, I went to Changinola and had to work. And I had over 20 years going and coming because I live in Almiranda. Sometimes I may stay there at friends or so forth, so not to come and go back there. Sometimes I have to be there at early times. So I do that. Sometimes I got to go up at night and sleep to be at work early. Only because sometimes they have some important work to be done and so forth. And well, I worked here for 24 years in the Social Security. But I never have the salary that I'm supposed to have because they had me push around. Sometimes you speak these things and people don't like, but I will tell you that I worked here for 24 years and I never reached $500. And I have a person that is well trusted and I do a lot of work. I was the boss of a sale. But we call it in English, as they speak in English, domestic. Our department of domestic. And I work just more than even the people that are there. Work more, just my my ability and my my ability was to sit at that place clean. When those people, those big men came from Panama to visit and inspect the final hospital in good condition, but there was not anybody thinking about having given me a salary. And there was a boss, his name, the right director, a medical director, his name was, Dr. Alvarez. He knew me from the beginning that the hard work and the cleaning, when they were to inaugurate, those things were not done, and when they found out that I had a person that I knew the work, and I was a person that they could depend on, and whatever work I done, they could depend on. And he ordered me to get the administrator to give me a raise, that I could give me $50 raise. And that gentleman did that, boss, he didn't give me the raise. He called me to sign a paper there without even reading. And he took me off the social security list and put me on ministerial. And the ministry of health, I just more raise and so forth, because they give you every 4 years, and I was about 4 years to receive my first every 4 years they give you a certain amount of percentage. So I lose that. And I lost everything. I work on my way down. Well, I still work there because government changed and everything changed, but I had nothing to do with that. I belong to the Partido Pérez. I just work. When I go to my work, it's not Pérez. I go to do my work. So I have no problem with neither the Pérez nor the opposition. I know, because I just do whatever I have to do. I never have any problem. I can say with my bosses and people there, I live with people there. Everybody knows me there. I've been known from here to Panama, Bocas, Chiriquí, all around. And I have relatives and people that know me, that work with me there. I give a hand to everybody. My hand was freely to everybody that I could come in contact with. And I'm not sorry in these days because I'm sick, and I know that people anywhere I go, they know me. Sometimes they shove me on my side and they call me. They are never too big to give me a shove. And well, go right up until I came out. I came out on pension. They didn't give me my pension. They pensioned me for risk, which is something that not profitable to me. There was a time that I was supposed to be collecting some money that I was supposed to, I did not collect it. I had a problem that when the time I go to that gentleman to rectify my papers, I will tell you his name. His name is Ascarate. His name is Ascarate. He was the manager of his class there. And he gave me a very hard time. And when I got out, I didn't get my, I was supposed to collect $199.17 a month. And I had 21 months that I didn't collect a license. And when I got to that gentleman, he never wanted to have his pay attention. He took my papers and he said, give me your phone number. And I could give him the phone number and everything like that. He said, between a month timing. But you see, not each time that I did, I just throw that in the garbage pan and it's finished. 1, 2, 3 months, I get back. No, it don't come yet, it don't come yet. And that was a problem earlier. One day I got mad and I went up there because I was up to give him something that he deserved. But the bigger boss was there and he told me, don't touch him because he's a sick man. But he's a wicked fellow. He's wicked. And anyhow, I didn't get to him. My son came from Panama. My neighbor told me, she said, write a letter and ask a lady here, I forget what is her name in Panama, but she had authority on these things, and I explained myself to her because what had happened, the chemicals had affected 1/3 of my lungs. In 19 years or 20 years, the first I took a bed in the hospital, I spent 15 days and came out asthmatic. I was never asthmatic in my life. Night and day I worked under the rain, sun, early in the morning, up and down, never. And I went to death's door. Oh yes, I didn't believe I would hear no. Even many of my friends and people there, they didn't, they said, sometimes they come to visit and when I see them, I hear they said, oh, our friend is not by his side again. Sometimes I couldn't even get up out of my bed, couldn't raise up. And asthmatic, and I went down. When I tell you down, but thank be to Jesus Christ, He's the one who has me here, because I was dead many times. I sent away my son not to see me dying. I sent away my daughter that she wouldn't see me dying in a time. And she died, and I'm still here. She died at the age of 33 years. Oh, yes. And I see many people who have given me over. They are gone, and I'm still here. Thank you, good Lord, for being able to give, to be able to say something and give Him thanks, and be able to tell someone of the goodness of God that He has done for us, because we are all sinners. When we die in our sins, we have no hope of eternity. But He gave me the opportunity to recollect, because my teacher was an Adventist woman, and I had a little from her. But you know, when you are children, at least 9 up to 9, 10 years, you don't think about, you have it in you, because you had the brain, but you don't think of life that way. And I can't tell my mother was I wanted to get something to do to help her with her, with my brother, the photo, because he died, he followed me, and a sister that died follows you. My mother had 8 of us, and I'm the only one that's alive right now. I'm the sixth one, and all is gone. So my intention I wanted to do was to work and to help my mother in her situation. But when she had to wash clothes for other people, she had to go to a farm and deer and got a lot of snakes and sometimes there, those things like that. And I could remember snakes. When I did a snake, like in that farm, I believe that that farm produced more snakes than anywhere else. Snake ran out between my mother's foot. We step over a snake. When I was 7 years, I had to go walking around Bawon, practically 2 miles, to go and run up cows. 4 o'clock in the morning, we don't know what is electric light. The only thing that we know is cocoa bush and cocoa trees and bush. Every morning out there at 5 o'clock, to get those mules and things out there. And then one morning I went and found one of the cows was stolen, snake bite. That could have happened, but the good God gave me opportunity. He cares me. I can tell it to anybody. The thing that I've passed through. I passed already and saw a snake around a tree. And I took a cotton and joking, which I shouldn't have done that, because he was enormous. He could have swallowed me and nobody would know what became of me. And I had to run home. Yes. Snake run me down. The next time a snake run me down there, and when it run, and I hit him first. And when it dropped, I run up. And when I look, I see him coming, and I run. And when I was going, I turned back to look if he was going. It was very near. And I wreck up into a tree. And those whips caught me by my neck. And I couldn't move. And I stayed quiet. And the snake stand up just like right there, so on the point of his tail, waiting at me like that. And all I could do is repeat the loud cry, and the sign just go right down like that. And he went in the bush. And the large niggas about the side of the end of that bench, you looking at over here. Oh, yes. And the 2 fellas that men that was there with me, when they saw with the snake, they run. Yeah. Many things that happened to me, but I can say, well, thank God for that. Oh, yes. So, in that I've been, as I was telling you, that they had pensioned me for a race car. And I tried to get my pension, and that same man took it out. And I still receiving race car. When the 4 years worked there, so, and I never reached $500 with all my responsibility and all my good works. But thank the good Lord for it. He knows everything best. So I end up with my sickness, and I'm home, and now each time I'm getting more weak. I myself, if I had this problem in my back, it gave me trouble because of the disc. I got a fall and hit the ribs. And it took out and one hit it out of my disc. And that I've been suffering in your young days. So you see, you feel those pain, you go in the back, they give you something to rub and a little of water and so forth. No, a couple of years I'm suffering more because now I can hardly walk, I can't sit very long, I can't stand long, I can't, and I just have pain night and day. And they're recommending me to take an operation because they said after the number 4 is black, it's cramped, so I don't know what it's called. But we can come in this world, we understand how we come, but we don't know the way that we are going. But we only want to know that we give ourselves to Jesus Christ and have Him as our personal Savior. And He is willing and just to forgive us of all our wrongs if we confess our wrongs to Him. And in the coming of His resurrection, we'll have a better life. So we live for that future. I'm living for that future. No matter what may take place, I'm living for that future. I'm now in my 80 years. I couldn't think of going to an operation table for that. Maybe if I was younger, maybe, and maybe not too, because it's a very dangerous operation. And I've seen people that never start. In these days, I see one or two persons that took, I remember three persons that told me that took that show me the operation. Well, it's not for me. It's not for me. I wouldn't take it. I'm right, you know, on my last journey. I'm not going up the hill, no, I'm going down. All I have to do is get up and give God thanks for whatever it is. Jesus Christ suffered more than that for us. He got through for the world. And if we can feel what we're feeling, that is our own, imagine what He has said. So, that's what I desire to say.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for sharing with that.
One of the times when I was at work in 1975, the 29th of November, I was at work this Saturday, and then I came to find my mother. She took down, and I took her to the hospital here, and I reached home around minutes to 6, was able to take her, my wife got her ready, and able to take her to the hospital. And around 10 o'clock the night she died, 1975, the 29th of November. And, well, she was buried the 8th of December, the 7th of December, you know, we have Mother's Day here, that was the day that she was buried. In that same month, my first grandson born. He born the 8th of November, just like myself. In that same 1975, and my last son was born the 4th of November, and my mother died the 29th. So it's right now, it's supposed to be 75, it's supposed to be 32 years now. 32 years that. Well, we all have to go one day. It's the matter that we go is the way that we go. If we go to live for eternity with Jesus, we rise again. But if we live our life how we want, well, we will be going on the contrary. Yeah.
Right. Thank you. Tell me a little bit more about your friends, your best friends growing up. What were their families like? And are you still in touch with your childhood friends?
I don't hear you.
Oh, yes. Tell me a little bit more about your best friends, friends growing up.
Yeah.
Are you still in touch with some of them?
Oh, yes. Sometimes by my side, I haven't seen them, but they're always in touch. Everybody, big and small, no matter what. Whether they are government, or co-workers, whether they are nurses, doctors, police, good friends, neighbors, I live with everybody. With everybody. Whoever wants to make an enemy of me because they want, but I have no enemies. I have no enemies at all. My problem that I have is in my own home because, you know, sometimes you need this problem. Says, Jesus said that you're never a prophet without hand except in your own home. And you will do the best for your own people sometimes and you never get the appreciation that you are supposed to get in a time. Because it's like you never miss the water until the well run dry. But there is others outside that see it and they wish they had that privilege, and there are many that have the privilege and appreciate what you do for them. But these are things, you know, Satan put things in the way that, and if you don't put God in front of you and study His Word and do His Word, you're finding those kind of a problem because there are sinners. But I hope one day they will realize.
So tell me now about your parents and grandparents. What do you remember about them?
I don't know very much about very much, but what I know is that my mother is from Jamaica. She is from Kingston. Well, I don't know, her father and her mother probably been from the same place. My father is a Jamaican also. He came from St. Thomas. They didn't come to the Republic together. My mother was 1 year when she came to the Republic. She came with her mother, her grandmother, and her father. When they came, starting to what she explained to me, her mother went to Costa Rica, her mother and father went to Nicaragua, and she remained with her grandmother. So she grew in Costa Rica for a couple of years. So where they were living in that vicinity, they had a woman there that she was crazy. And you know, those and they have houses, and those landlords, they have houses, and they rent those houses. So they have a cistern there where everybody take water, and they have service there. So this lady, when she put her bucket to take water, she stand up there, and nobody can touch it. So that grandmother of mine, great-grandmother, she lived by baking, and she was late to go, and the woman bucket pulled, and she didn't move it, and she pulled away the bucket and set her first. She was not noticing, and the woman just take the bucket and give her one chop. You know, those bucket had a piece of the bottom there. Her brains came out, and she died. My mother said she had to she stayed with her neighbor. The lady has two daughters, and she became a slave for them. She had to be washing clothes for them, cooking and tidying, and she just had to get out. So she came in with my eldest brother, father. And then, well, they were there and they're separated. She had four children. She got in with my father, came in Panama, and lived there. And then while she was there, she had three children from which is my defunct sister, myself, and a brother. And the next one, he died from birth. She had the children that have. So we grow apart from them, but afterward we get in contact with each other, and they're all dead right now. So that's how comes when we're living in Cebuve. So my father, he took sick, and company sent him back to Jamaica. By the time I was around 5 years, company sent him back to Jamaica. My father wanted him to take me along with him, but he said he wouldn't be going because he's out here for many years and he don't know exactly where he's going. That's why I didn't get back there with him, so he went back. And well, that was in the year he went, I think it was in 1933, when I sent him. And then what happened, he got sick. But it was something that they gave him his food. Yeah, they put something in his food and gave him, and then that had him upset. And then everywhere that they go, the doctor them, they couldn't find those sickness. And he go to three different places, and at least some place that he said they have crystal bar. They read crystal bar. Who? You know anything about that? Well, anyhow, they say he went to three different places. Only what my dad was in the food. He don't eat outside, he eat in the home. But my mother had a problem. But when he went to Jamaica and found out everything, he wrote back to her in 1934 that he was sorry for all the problems that he gave to her. But he found out how his sickness went. So he didn't hear anything, he died, he didn't hear anything more about it. So when my mother raised us, and I tried to work under my best what I could do to help her and my sick brother and sister. My sister died right now, my father, so out of the eight of us, I'm the only one that is right now living. But I have a lot of I right now have 4 and 3, 7. 7 children alive. Girls and boys, and you know, the times get hard. They live in the house and they get a little job now and they have to pay the house rent and they have to pay the phone and water and light. So things are not so bad right now because the salary is not so very much, but anyhow, where I live in, and thank God that they accept the Savior and they keep on. Sometimes we get contact, we give them a shout and support, and whenever we can. So, but I live in that good country. I live in that good unit right now.
He told me he did up to fourth grade of school, is that correct?
Well, I've been only to fourth in English.
In English.
And I went to Spanish just in 6 months. That's nothing to be counted because you know what is a fourth grade for you. In 6 months, you don't learn anything. But I really learned a lot because I can still write and read Spanish. Because of what I capture and sit down and read and study at home and so forth.
And what can you tell me about the teachers you interacted with during those times?
Well, my teacher was a Jamaican woman. Jamaican woman. And I thank the good Lord for her. Because, you know, I don't like anybody to hit my skin. I don't like nobody to roll my skin. And I don't like to roll anybody either. See, men have a custom of beating women and things like that. I don't like to see it. I get in problem already twice. Seeing a man beating a woman. I got in. Because I don't like it. We discuss because I don't care who you are. You must have a discussion sometime, but we discuss and even if not to anything like that. So, after those, I'm not facing there.
Well, no, yeah, maybe I was the teachers. Were there any teachers in particular you remember?
Yes, I remember my teacher. That woman I remember every day because what I have right now, from 7, 8, 9 years, is from she. I've been right up to the third book and finishing in fourth with her. But when I came to Amirante, I went to night school at teacher Edward right in Segla here. He was a Jamaican man also, just to learn arithmetic. That was all my problem. I wanted all the arithmetic which the children don't like today. And they like the calculator, and I don't like it. So what I have up to now, well, as much as I'm single with my friends. Oh yes, I work in my business and I don't need pencil. I can check anything here and I'm good with that because I got that from... Get out! Yes, I got that from my youthful days and I still have it. I still have that. And I thank God for that woman. Once I wanted to see her to give her a present, but when I saw her, she was sick. The hospital, and when I came back, Peggy was Salida, and I never see her again. I know she's not living now.
What was her name?
Her name was Mrs. We used to call her Miss Burke. I remember her name is Burke. We're living in Sibubi. Miss Burke. And then I went to teach her Edwards and get a little more studies in the arithmetic. So with that, I was able to be a commissarian, and I go through the world with that. And manners and respect is everything that you go through. You don't have to have a lot of education. You just use what you got. But you respect, and that we do. That I do. Does respect.
Yeah, yeah.
Our youth nowadays have lost respect. The world lost with respect now. If you notice, the world have lost respect. Oh yes. But we have it, and we won't lose it.
Okay, what about music? What kind of music did you listen to growing up? And do you still listen to that music today? Has it changed?
When I was growing up, in that time, I used to like soft music. It was like something. I used to like to see rock and roll with, Frank? Rock and roll. I don't say the rock and roll. I like to see them in the rock and roll, but I mostly like my soft music. Romantic music. Romantic. I like romantic. But no, I don't, years I don't worry with that. No, I look to my Christian up here. I don't worry about that.
Do you listen to a lot of religious music, maybe? Is it mostly music to church?
Church music. Mm-hmm. That's what I dedicate myself to right now.
Oh, okay. Are you in a choral group? Hmm? Are you in a choral group?
Was.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking about, yes. Sometimes, yes, I can be in a special.
Okay. That's right. What kinds of foods did you eat growing up and now? And yeah, can you tell me about all that?
Well, when I was growing up, I ate a lot of yuca, yam, potato, sweet potato. Well, the regular potato we used to eat very few of them, a little, but yam, a lot of yam. We eat banana, plantain. We eat rice sometimes, but not so. When we were growing up, we eat rice, but not so very much. Now, of these days, the most thing that we have in rice is rice and rice, but in those days, we have a lot of food stuff. We have a lot of quality of yam, because those people were Jamaican people. And those people in my young days, I've been around them, they were at farms. Oh, yes. In the meat line, they used to eat beef, pork. Sometimes they kill. They carry corn up in town, they squint it, and you eat those things like that, but turtle and all those things there. But after I get in my Adventist, I understand we don't eat that. But that is many years. That, I think it's the problem of it, the pork sick me once, and the turtle was the same thing, and I said, just leave that. And that is many years, that's over 40 years. So don't worry with those. Rightly, according to the scripture, those things are not supposed to be eaten. They're not supposed to be eaten. Those things are reptiles. Oh, yes. So I don't worry about it. But right now I like fish. I like to eat fish. Sometimes they might have meat to make soup and so forth, but my favorite, I like fish and chicken the most of the time.
How about sayings? Do you have any favorite sayings that maybe your mother or your grandparents used to say to you, or sayings that you say to your kids?
Well, I'm going to tell you, my mother was a Catholic, but I've never been a Catholic. Once I wanted me to be a little bit more, I would get in a Catholic, but I've never been in a Catholic. So I don't adore saints. Saint this and saint that and saint that, no. We have one saint, and that is Jesus Christ. You're not supposed to be adoring no saint, nothing, because no saint, nothing can do anything for us. The only salvation and the only one we have is Jesus Christ in heaven and earth. No other, no salvation. So when those people are talking about Saint John and Saint Peter and Saint Mary and the rest of it, it's just of stupidness. Because the Bible tells you from the beginning, you must not make image and bow down and worship them. And these people that they put their glass of water, they put their scissors, for what reason I don't know, and they put, I have seen it. And they put the candle and the light with their red things, and they go there and they make the sign of the cross and the rest of it. And that's not supposed to be. Who are you praying to? You can go right inside there and you go up in there and you pray to your God and you come out and you're sure that you are protected because you give your heart and soul to Him. Jesus Christ is the only one, no other. Thou shalt have no other God beside me.
Yeah. What about actual sayings, I mean like dichos, sayings that you, over time, you say to others, not sayings, but sayings, different phrases, occasional things that you would say, or that your mother would say to you, lessons and values.
Oh, well. Well, that's one of the things you mean, that like when you're growing up, things that she said to you, they said a lot of things sometimes. They said a lot of things sometimes, because like when you said, when you're doing something out of the way and they speak to you and things like that, well, I never, then time my mother speak to me, you better get moving. Now, these now, they tell you to pray, they tell you I'm not going. But in my days, my mother called you, better be there, don't let you call it the second time. And when she said, New York, where are going? She don't tell you, only miss the basket dry and reach back. But we never have that. She never had that trouble because we know what it is and we just get out and go and we look at an opportunity. When that person comes to the home to visit, we are not there. We are outside. We get a chance to play, but you make sure that when she finishes, you're there. These youth of these days, people came to visit and thing, and you don't know who is the children and you don't know who is the parents. And there is no respect, you understand, because I've already told you that this word of lies of respect. Sometimes the words that is used are only children and the parent children to the parents, it's not that. I hear it every day. Every day. Oh yes. And things like that. And my mother said sometimes, she said, you spread your bed hard, you're going to lay down hard. Yes. And that's why they say that the children that don't have no mother and father in your home, you will find your mother and father in the street. That there's somebody there to thump your part, to take a teeth out of your mouth. That means you have no respect. There are plenty of things that they plenty, a lot of things you said. Yeah, there are a lot of things that I always tell you when you're coming up. Sometimes I forget some of them right at this moment. And when I get home now, I remember that. But I know that one of the most things I know she always tell me is to tell me that about that matters and respect, and you better have respect for everybody. If my mother and her neighbor have a problem and they have it out, tomorrow morning I could not pass that person and don't say good morning. Oh no. But these, your parents and they have, when they get in, they want to fight, to beat you. We never have that. So I thank God for that work. I used to work very hard. I think I passed a hard time working from my youth right up from 7 years. Right now I still have to be in the work. I have no strength. I'm very weak though because of the problem. I'm weak. I tried many times, but I'm severe and I'm feeling. I don't have the strength anymore, and every day I'm going nearer to my grave. But we know that we have to go one day. But I only want to go in the good way that when Christ comes, I wouldn't be cast in hell to be burned, but I would have a place in His kingdom to come.
Okay, well, we talked a little bit about music, but let me ask you about two particular people. Have you ever heard of Louise Bennett?
Who?
Louise Bennett.
That is recently.
Mm-hmm. Back in the day.
Well, probably, but I never more pay attention to this.
Okay. What about the Mighty Sparrow? Have you heard about the Mighty Sparrow?
Ah, yes, the Mighty Sparrow. I heard them many times. I used to like their music. Mighty Sparrow. I used to like it in a time. As a day right now, I know sometimes I hear them when neighbors play them or something like that, but my one that I'm more music right now is more Christian.
Okay. How would you classify yourself in terms of cultural or ethnic identity? Cultural, ethnic, racial identity. How would you classify yourself? Identify yourself.
How would I identify myself? Well, just a simple man. Just a simple man. I am a person that I like to help. I like to give a hand anywhere I can. Not for the looks of a dada. And the problem is I like to always help the side that I'm finally more weak. I like where there's a family and this side is the weakest and I try always to help the weakest and the most for the person that more need. Because you look, some people like to give this one because I give you a present because I can get a big present from you. But you give to the poor and the needy one and Jesus give you more. And you live better because when the people are accustomed to you, they know you. I am the person like that. I'm going and sometimes a person wanting something and they come to me and say, I'm coming to you and what did you need an idea? And because of that, I lose a lot. Yeah, people have asked problems in many years. I had my business, they want money, borrow and lend them, I don't get it back. Lose and credit and everything that I lose. Don't know that. Give me empty to go back to work. So, Africa. So let us use it in the right way and thank God for it, because we didn't bring anything in His word. And sure enough, we are going to take.
How, what would you say about your West Indian ancestry? How do you think about your West Indian ancestry today? When people talk about West Indians, what does that, make you feel?
Well, I never have much speaking about West Indians, but I know I love every nation. You have your special people. The West Indians have to be a special people for me, because I am a offspring of West Indian. Then think about England, and think about England, Scotland, Ireland, and Wales. We learn that in the school. They are all West Indian people. We had a program one time with dual recitation with that same lady, and speaking about England. But yeah, people are right. They are quite all right people. Right now we are diminishing. I notice that we are diminishing in the Republic right now, because my son, he would take a Spanish woman. My daughter, she's looking for a Spanish man. And the color is diminishing little by little, and is diminishing, and that's the problem of it right now. And there are some that they don't like the color, because the color is a people that even the very color don't like the color. I don't know what is the problem. Very colored, don't like the color. The first, the color, your black lips and your black dad, and they black person like you. Sometimes they're even blacker than you, and they curse you. I don't know what is the problem. My problem is neither white, Spanish, green, yellow, nor red. All of us are God's children, because God created us all. In the Latin, the language where we don't know the language that some may come in with, that the language we don't understand. We have a little Spanish, some don't speak Spanish at all. But this is God on the works. One time a guy I heard, they were speaking about that the word, that the word, the language that they have, they don't know where the language come in, because this and that, but God is who put it that way. When the children of Noah's children, that generation, they were building the tower, they were going past the limit, and God called his son to get down and confuse them. So they didn't know what they were doing. When they sent for a chisel, they bring a hammer. When they sent for a saw, they bring a machete, and things like that. They were confused. So that's why I have these different languages right now in the world. You know them, you know them where they can use you. Whatever you can learn, if you can learn 10, 3, 4, 5, it does good for you.
Let's see. Did you say you are currently married?
Hmm?
Are you currently married?
If I'm
married.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm married.
And how did you meet your wife?
Oh, I'm married.
How did you meet her? Where did you meet her?
When I first met her, I was working in the commissary outside there. I was a clerk working there. We speak, and she had to come because she worked in the zone, and I had to attend all those zone people, the others for the house affair, for the anything stuff. So we began to speak, and I wrote her, and she answered. Well, after we corresponded, well, I went to her mother. I believe I wrote her mother. And I went to her mother and told her, well, I would like to marry her. She probably didn't like him, but she and I was in love. Yeah, we did, but we finally didn't marry. She's a very good wife. We had problems afterward because of the family. They were separated. And I was living with another woman for a period of time. You know, in Christianity, you could never keep that way. You want life, you got to do what Christ said. I became an Adventist because I was a Methodist for years. I was a Methodist when we married. I married in the Methodist the 20th of October 1951. And Sunday was the 21st, became a member. And I was there until 1999. I changed the one to the name of Adventist because that's where I met first. And really what happened, you cannot, it is better to obey God than to obey a man. Now, what day do you keep?
What day am I keeping?
Yeah. What day do you keep as God worship day? We have 6 days, so it's
yes, I guess generally Sunday, but I mean that can vary also.
Sunday. When the majority of people keep Sunday, and they say that the majority cannot be wrong. But God did not bless the Sunday for Sabbath. God created you. You read your Bible right. In Exodus chapter 20, God created the heaven and earth in 6 days, and he rested the seventh day. He did everything, and he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. And he said, you must not work, either you, your son, your daughter, your servant, your maidservant, nor your manservant, nor your stranger, nor your cattle, nothing that is in your gate. For the Sabbath, after 6 days, the Lord made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, sanctified it. That work cannot be changed. The people said that that was given by the Jews. They were not Jews. The only pair of people, the last thing that they made was Adam and Eve, and they were coming in the first day of rest. So the Sabbath is not ours. The Sabbath is the Sabbath of the Lord, thy God. And he's saying you must not do any work. The Pope of Rome, Constantine, in the year of 421, the 70th of March, he changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. Then you know. So is it better for you to obey the man-made Sabbath or God's Sabbath? When Christ came on this earth, every Sabbath day he was in a synagogue teaching and preaching. Why was the Sabbath changed? For Constantine changed because when Christ was crucified, he crucified on the Friday. The Sabbath day where he was resting. And early the first day of the week, which was a Sunday morning, he rose. And that's why they changed and obligated people to keep the Sabbath. Protestant, they call you Protestant. But the Sabbath is God's holy Sabbath. He will not excuse you because you can read and write. And Christ did it. He was a great example for us. He kept his Father's Sabbath. And yet he is the Sabbath because he is God's holy Son, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He kept the Sabbath.
Is your wife also a singer like you? Does she have a similar background? Are her parents from Jamaica or some of the islands as well?
No, I don't think our mother is from Jamaica. I believe she's from Nicaragua. I don't know much about her. I know her father is from Nicaragua. She's a Nicaraguan. So, yeah.
And so your children are half Nicaraguan, half West Indian.
Well, yeah. I can't know her blood. I guess. Yes. Yes, they have Jamaican blood and
okay. Do they speak both English and Spanish?
Yes.
Then? Do they? Okay. Okay. Great.
Children, and the other grandchildren,
uh-huh.
And great grand.
Wow.
The great grand, very few children have know anything about English because they don't teach them everything. They don't learn Spanish. But the grand, they know it. And some of the great grand have been around me. They know in English, but they don't speak it. You speak to them and tell them everything that you want there. Maybe one thing I saw, I think if I hear the drone and I stop it, but they know it and they respond to you in Spanish. But they know because we give it to them.
What specific message would you want to send out to the community?
What?
What message? If you could send out a message to all the youth or the younger generation, what message would you send out?
The only message I could say to them that in these days we are living in the last days. And I would like them to take a look at the scripture and start thinking about just dance and drinking and smoking and the rest of it. I never been a drinker or a smoker, but I took up a habit of gambling. That was very bad for me, but I did pass for that. Because you know, only when you're going to keep it, to get out of gambling and hamper you like that. So I would encourage the young youth of today, don't believe that because you take a beer in your hand and you take a cigarette in your mouth, you are a woman or you are a man. That is just ruining your character. We must remember that our body is the temple of the living God, and we must protect it. There are some of them that they get out from their youthful days and begin being a prostitute, and then later on, what will become of them? They are just 14 and 13 and they are down like that, and it's sad. But all these things, the Bible tells you will happen. And when you see these things happening, you will not be surprised, because the Bible tells you before. So you must prepare for all these things, because it is going to happen. God's word cannot fall to the ground. So I would like to tell them, try to do the best, because there are parents who really don't give their children education about the gospel. They ask them because they are too busy caught up in the world. So they don't have the thinking to tell the children, so the children follow them and do what they do and do worse. But to the younger one, I went to say today, as I'm telling you here, I would tell them, find yourself in touch with the church, take a Bible study. There are wolves in the world. The Bible tells you, Jesus tells you, the ravenous wolves, they come in the form of sheep. And they're teaching you that this, and they're teaching you that, and they're teaching you different things contrary to the Bible, but you read the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. It's a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Unless you read your Bible with that, let that someone who can teach you, because you will read it with anybody. Some come and they tell you about this, and they tell you about that one, and they tell you about nothing else you supposed to be teaching about but Jesus Christ's death and resurrection for salvation. And the only way you can come to salvation is give yourself to Jesus Christ. No matter what happens, this world will soon pass away. We want to have this, we want to have that, and we want to have that, and we do everything. There are people who put themselves out in the last way. And when they get it, they die, and it remains right there. So don't look at the world, look at Jesus Christ. And after you seek Him first, things will come to you the way that you may not believe that it will come to you. But right, because I have sinned, I'm a sinner because of sin. I did things that I shouldn't have done. And when I sit down and think of it, it repents me, because that made Christ bore those sins for us. So that's why we today, we although we repent of our sin, but we have to feel because He felt for us. Okay. But whilst you know that you give yourself to Him, so you don't have to worry. There is a better day coming. We won't have to be running from the sun and the trumpet sound. You won't have to be running and hiding from the rock, because the rock will be running from you. The tree will be running from you. Everything will be running. It will be a glorious day for us that serve God, believing in Jesus Christ, believing the Father that sent Him. That day is coming. The dead in Christ at the sound of the first trumpet shall be raised from the dead, and those that raise second death are going to condemnation. So I would advise, leave the world, live, we need, God knows what we need, and you look for the thing that you really need, but don't look for the world to carry yourself and give to the world. But Satan is, in these days now, are working very much, even in the home, in the church, everywhere. Satan is right there. And he's trying to keep you from serving God to be unruly as he did. Because he don't want you to go in that happy home where he was, he lasted forever. But I only pray that each and every one of you youth that is in the world today, just take my advice. It's not too late to turn to Jesus Christ. His hand is still open. We don't know. Tomorrow is too late. Never wait for tomorrow. What you're going to do, decide now. Either you want to decide for heaven or you're going to decide for heaven. Decide to be. Tomorrow is promised to no one.
You told me, we're just going to get some demographics to finish up. You said you were born in
1928.
And your last grade of school is fourth grade?
Ooh.
Last grade of school is fourth grade.
Fourth. English. Spanish for 6 months.
Mm-hmm. And your profession or job would be?
Well, I don't, my profession, I do a little of everything.
Yeah.
I do a little carpentering, a little to keep shop business.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a little of everything. I have no special.
Okay.
My last profession was that I was a, what you call a domestic service and all those things. I do a little of everything.
Yes.
Very skinny and everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anything else you would like to add that we have not, that you have not mentioned yet, or do you think we've covered everything you'd like to share with us?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Got a very good
many things, but like at the moment now, you should remember that when I get home now, and I might later on sit down, I should do this, I should do that, because it comes in the mind. But you have so many things.
Well, in that case, I'd like to thank you again for participating. We are done with the interview. We will be in contact with you directly through the contact information you gave us, and also through Ethel, who's been helping us coordinate long distance. And, we hope that you have enjoyed sharing all of this with us. For us, it's a great learning experience just doing the interview. When we have the compilations, it will be even more beautiful. So, we're done.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
We have a gift for you for participating.
Thank you very much.
GM Point, but I was in a point of that.
Uh-huh.